My leg better, bro. How's it been?
It's been good, my G. How have you been?
Like, I think the last time we spoke here, on, I can actually, January 2020, oh my days. Was it?
Hasn't been that long. I don't think so. Has it?
Bro, we're speaking about, obviously, attorney Bruno Fernandes and whatnot.
Yeah.
Wow. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Guys, uploading so much on the pod. I mean, I uploaded last in like the first week of April. I went like in third week, I guess. But guys, don't worry about the past 2 weeks. Not really pleasant, but we're good. Thank goodness, we thank God we're all capability.
Yeah, I'm okay, man. Good to be here. Good to be back in the podcast.
Come on, bro. A special topic in the executive. That's the only way in the sporting world in terms of football. So, European, which team that whole country.
Well, I think the European Super League has gotten a lot of backlash from football fans. To an extent, I actually blame football fans for the fact that European Super League came in. Because when I look at it, yeah, football clubs, like, for instance, yeah, when I look at Barca, they pay Messi almost $1 million a week, and they do that to keep the fans heavy, but the club is heavily in debt. Wow. You understand? So we're United fans, and every single season we complain the club is generating so they don't spend enough. Every top six club in the Premier League funds in Barcelona, most of the clubs that were proponents or that were bought to be in the Super League, or the fans complain every single season, the club is not spending enough. The club is not spending enough. We fans, we moan all the time. Sometimes when players are in the middle of contract negotiations, for instance, right now, Sergio Ramos is in a situation whereby he's demanding so amount. Real Madrid fans are telling Perez, paid. Wow. Not considering the economic factors to that. When there's this type of pressure on football owners and football clubs, they're going to try and find a way to balance the books. They're going to try and find a way to have an...
Yes, sir.
Yes. Man, like,
guys, we were speaking earlier about the European Super League before we had a slight break, and now we're back. Guys,
we're back.
Abreast, if you're just tuning, proposed format, teams will be placed into two groups of 10. Those teams also play each other home and away in their group games, obviously, followed by a knockout game or knockout stage, you could put it like that. All games will be played in midweek, and the competition will run from August till May, a whole season basically. 12 founding clubs with 3 more anticipated. So at the time they are 12 and you're thinking of getting 15. Interesting. The 15 founding clubs will govern the tournament, and 5 other teams will have to qualify each season. That right there just sounds very sketchy to me. Bello, with everything I just said, what can you continue to tell us about the European Super League? At first, you're explaining the perspective of the owners, and I think that was a very interesting aspect you're touching on.
Yeah, I was talking on the perspective of the owners, not as if I'm trying to pander to them, because a lot of them are blood-sucking mosquitoes that just want to suck and suck and suck as much revenue as they can from the clubs. Because, you know, most of them don't watch these teams. They're not that interested in football, the American owners. And it's a few of them that, you know, like Roma and Chelsea, that genuinely love the club, that they watch the club. And you can see from his investment how he doesn't tolerate failure, you know.
Yeah,
very select few. Yeah, but most of them, yeah. I'm not saying that the owners are faultless. I'm just saying fans ourselves have a part to play in the way this has sprung up. I just heard you explain the format, and for me, that's why I don't like the format they're presenting it in.
Wow.
Because you can't. Football, the essence of football is that success should not be guaranteed. The only guarantee for success should be what you put on the pitch and what the players produce. But the fact that you want to give 15 teams on regulated entry into a Super League for life is what just doesn't sit with me. I have been actually a proponent, not a proponent, but I have been someone who's been open to the idea of the European Super League, because nobody wants to watch Burnley versus West Brom or go and watch
Burnley,
man. Yeah, man, or watch what do you call them again? Ibar and Levante in La Liga.
Verona versus Spal.
Exactly, man. Spal, like, no one's trying to watch that except like people that are actually affiliated to the club. But fans at a global level like us, we want to watch the big games in Europe.
Yeah, trouble days.
Yeah, I was just saying,
fans, no one wants to watch those games apart from the fans who are affiliated to those clubs.
Yeah, but I as a neutral can sit down and thoroughly enjoy the Clasico or the Milan Derby. Things
very
like that.
True.
You get
very
me.
True.
So
yes,
I agree with the idea of having a Super League, but not in the format. I want a Super League where teams are going to be there if they perform on merit. If the top three teams in La Liga are taken, top three teams in the Premier League are taken, top three teams in Serie A are taken, then maybe you'd crack one from the Netherlands like Ajax, crack one from Portugal like Benfica or Porto, and then you get me, like, mix it all up. Yeah, that would make sense to me. But when you're saying teams like Spurs, who have absolutely no history in Europe,
bro,
zero, next to none, should have a God-given right to be in that league. Like,
myself,
well,
God-given right.
like, how do you feel about teams like Spurs? Because Sevilla won 3 or 4 Europa League titles in the last decade. That's more than Tottenham has achieved in almost 50 years, and yet no one is considering them. I know because of the financial clout of the Premier League.
Yeah.
But Tottenham, like, tell me how you feel about it. Like, do you agree with teams because of their commercial revenue and the eyes on them should have a right to be there? Or do you agree with me saying that there should be like a type of merit system if they were to have the European Super League?
No, 1,000,000,000% a merit system is what I go for. To be honest, just like all of us, and most fans, when we're kids, we only were interested in the big games.
Yeah.
And you can imagine the kids of today's society with all the FIFA and playing games, and then even just watching YouTubers discuss football. Most kids don't even watch most of all these games. Their entry to football is basically from either social media or gaming or something else. So really and truly, a Super League will help garner the attention of most of society towards football. That's for sure. But like you said, the way it's being perpetrated right now, or planned even, and put to all of us, it just seems so, it divides even more, because now all the owners of those smaller clubs, it's literally a case of, if you can't beat them, join them. And how can those small clubs join them? It's basically almost impossible.
Yeah.
If you think about it, apparently the new Champions League format has something in place where two teams who actually did not qualify for a Champions League could get in because their coefficients could actually allow them going
to get there. And
I mean, if imagine they tried to do that and then we went against that and then Super League was brought afterwards, who knows what would have happened? But so yeah, my point, my main point is, I do agree with your point of we do, I mean, we could accept a Super League, maybe just not this way. It shouldn't be put out this way for sure.
Yeah.
15 teams, 15 founding members, that is impossible, bro. With the way the financial revenues are going, it's not possible. You have 15 guys that will be there forever.
Yeah.
Qualify. No, it's going to set such a disparage in football, that people will just be like, you know what? People just watch football on a fling, like, okay, oh, that game, okay, let me just watch. Like, it will not be as serious again. And it's just become a money show that it will definitely rub off the wrong way if it was, you know, if it goes as planned as it currently is. Yeah. And I hope it doesn't.
Yeah, and that thing you also said with the new format of the Champions League, and shout out to all these Spal fans. I'm not trying to diss your club or anything, because it goes beyond those low-level clubs. Let's be
for
honest.
Real.
Yeah, when we're real. Playing, when they're playing Champions League football, how many fans are going to tuning into Manchester United versus Istanbul Beşiktaş?
Exactly.
Apart from United and Istanbul fans, most neutrals aren't watching that.
For
even
real.
Real Madrid, like their games versus Shakhtar, their games versus Mönchengladbach, most neutrals weren't watching that. They were waiting to see, okay, what's going to be the juicy game of the group stage. Okay, Manu PSG, let's watch that. Okay, Juve Barcelona, Messi and Ronaldo, that's what we're gonna watch. But there's one new team that entered and they were in that Barcelona group. Ferva.
What?
The name.
Oh, Feyenoord? Yes. Is it Feyenoord?
No, that's
the new team.
This was their first time into the Champions League, and they were in the group stage with Real Madrid and Juventus. Real Madrid. Name starts with F. Yeah, if you could just help us check.
Okay, let me see.
Not Real Madrid, sorry, Juventus and Barcelona. My bad, Juventus.
Okay.
In that same group, there was another new team that just came into the competition. And the only thing that made guys watch that game was, okay, I'm going to watch Messi. I'm going to watch Ronaldo. But no one cared about the other team. Even in the Champions League itself, that we keep on hyping, oh, it's the best competition.
Yeah.
Like, most people aren't really watching those games religiously. They're just waiting for it to get to round of 16, where the juicy teams are. And then that's where we're going to watch. So, really and truly, football fans want the big games more than anything. And very the true. European Super League is going to give us that. I know people, the thing that actually pisses me off or just irks me a little bit is this whole it's the people's game thing. Yes, football, yes, we always know it's the people's game, but when we look at football in the modern era,
it's really
not the people's game. It's 100%. A billion-dollar industry.
Exactly.
Like, you already watch millionaires running around a field for billion-dollar football clubs, earning money for billion-dollar media companies. There are plenty of proper community clubs in the lower reaches. You can go and watch Bohamwood FC.
Yes,
that's a community club with people, but at its top tier, football is a Hollywood sport.
Wow,
a Hollywood sport at its top tier, because when we truly look at it, the Premier League exploded because of its global reach. It's because of fans around the world, in every sector of the world, that allows these clubs to generate as much revenue they do from advertising, because people know, brands know, the eyes of the world are on these clubs. Everyone is watching them. And then you have people in London telling me that there shouldn't be a match between Juventus and Barcelona played in America. But NFL teams are bringing league matches and you have English people filling up stadiums in London to watch NFL matches. But you're trying to tell me that bringing a match between Manchester United and Chelsea to, let's say, South Africa is not something that should happen. Meanwhile, those fans in Africa who dream, who can never afford to come to England and watch those games, who dream, who save up to buy your jerseys, they shouldn't have that privilege that you have when NFL teams come to London and you don't have to travel to America and you watch the Oakland Raiders or whatever NFL team supports Raiders, in London. Yeah, it happens. So that is kind of the same concept that these people are currently enjoying in England, that they don't want the rest of the world to enjoy. It only belongs to you. But then when your clubs are benefiting, it's through this global audience that makes them this money, that allows them to buy these players that you love to see every week. So what I say is redo the format, rethink it, rejig it. There are a lot of positives in it. I would love for a Premier League match, a European Super League match, to be bought to a different continent, to India perhaps.
Wow.
Millions purchasing Man United, Chelsea, Man City jerseys. Just like the way the NFL have bought a game to London without you having to go to England. Because let's be honest,
fans
in England aren't the reason why the clubs are rich. If it were only fans in England that were watching the Premier League or watching the Champions League, it wouldn't be as big as it is.
That's true.
The game is a global sport. I know, your communities created this club, your neighborhood club, but if you want to look at the reality in this day and age, it's bigger than your community. Like I said, if you want to watch community football club, go and watch Bohemond FC. Or any, the low-level clubs from League 2 downwards. Those are true community clubs that you
for
have.
Real.
The same, the coach actually does laundry for them. Get me. Those are the true community clubs. Like Chelsea, United, they pretend they're community clubs.
Yeah.
But they're really not. They do these things that portray themselves as community clubs, but they're global clubs. Hence why they're not owned by people in the community.
Yes,
they're owned by billionaires outside your community, outside your nationality.
Yes, sir.
The other point I'm trying to make.
100%.
There's a bit of hypocrisy from English football fans.
Yeah.
The way they protest, I understand. If you're going to protest, protest the format. Protest the fact that they want to give a certain set of clubs that God-given right to just be there and earn for life. And not give clubs like Leicester, who won the Premier League through sheer hard work.
Yeah.
Clubs like West Ham now that are pushing and could actually push for a Champions League spot. You're telling me they shouldn't be there because they're not so club? That's unfair. Protest that. When you're protesting the whole thing in its entirety,
West
has so many benefits. I'm not for that. I want to see European League, but not in this format.
100%. To be fair, I think most English fans, they just joined the bandwagon of whatever top correspondents say. So, your English fans, more often than not, it's all about the enjoyment. There is little or no intellectual thinking when it comes to the game. That's why the few that have that intellect, they're kind of all on TV or on YouTube, actually putting out some content.
But the funny thing is, guys like Gary Neville, who was on TV disparaging the whole thing, rubbishing it, killing it. Let's be honest. Can you remember the time that Man United team preferred to play in the World Club Cup than the FA Cup? And since then, the FA Cup has never ever been able to regain the prestige it had. Man United is a club managed by Sir Alex Ferguson, a Brit, although he's a Scot, Brit. And then so many England internationals, Gary, the likes of them. They said they would play in a World Club Championship over their local, what is there in the
FA Cup.
You get me? And let's not forget, the birth of the Premier League itself
Yeah.
had a a very similar beginning to the Super League.
100%
with Sky, bro. With Sky, yes, Sky being the biggest benefactor.
Yep.
The same Sky that are providing the platform for people like Neville to disparage the Super League, probably because they're not going to get broadcasting rights. But if you know, if they cut Sky a slice of the cake,
yeah,
they're not going to allow guys like Gary Neville to rubbish it. They'll be like, yeah, let's go for it. We're going to get 2, 3, 4, 5 billion in broadcasting rights. Let's go for it. But the moment club owners want to take power away from them, it's an issue. Like I say, everything just boils down to money.
Yes, sir. 100%. I like the point you brought out. The Premier League was actually a form of the Super League at the time. Founding members, your Manchester United, Arsenals and whatnot, they were actually there. And that is why, clearly, the guys that had all the power in the beginning. I mean, to be fair, United, yeah, we kind of grew into it. Arsenal grew into it as well. Newcastle, your Aston Villas, your Evertons, we're all big in the 80s, kind of, especially Everton. And once we turned into the 90s and obviously 2000s, the tables turned. Newcastle's, your Everton's, every Aston Villas, Blackburn's, bro, we all went upside down. So basically, if this is allowed to go through, bro, with the way it is, yeah, I know society might just have to accept it for now, but long term, it's just going to be a hot mess. So I know Florentino is still saying it's definitely going to happen and there's a possibility. I just hope they come with a different package. That's it.
Yeah. See, the thing that annoys me,
I'm in for it. I just need a different package.
Yeah, because me, up till now, it puzzles me how like multi-billion dollar corporations couldn't, you know, roll this out better. Like,
bro.
Like, they didn't really roll this in a way that fans would accept it. It was just like out of nowhere, boom,
you gotta accept gonna happen it.
And you guys have to, you know, like there is meant to be a rollout. Like, who did they consult before they made this rollout? Clearly not football fans, clearly not ex-players. It was the closed league of club chairmen and executives and board members that just decided, hey, we need to make more money. The current system is not sustainable for us. Let's make this. Who's in? And then they were like, yeah, we're all in. And then they just popped it out. Like, the rollout was absolutely terrible. And for clubs with so much influence and power and ability,
it's
actually sad. Because I'm thinking, like, I and a couple of friends from my secondary school could probably do better rollout than this. Honestly.
Bro, how many people do you know billionaires ask questions before making decisions? That's just what it boils down to at the end of the day. These guys realized they needed to fill the pockets and they had their cash cows in terms of the clubs. And all they had to do was they just had to agree on one, man, to be fair. And Florentino was a spokesperson, and your brother at Juventus, that guy too is on it. Yeah, to be fair, they've
actually
he's been speaking about it for like 2 years, bro. That I know I've been conscious about. Like, your guy has actually been pushing the whole signing Ronaldo thing was supposed to be all part of some big madness.
Yep. But you know, Agnelli, I'm not surprised. He comes from a family like that has always been like revenue.
Yeah.
The Agnelli family in Italy has always been a family that's business oriented. Where are we going to make the most profits? That's the family. That has been the image in Italy. So I'm not surprised someone like him is pushing for the Super League.
Yeah, he's a big player. He's definitely a big player. Because I remember
he's no longer a big player since he's resigned from the role.
Wow! Now the only resignations I saw, obviously, Edudo resigned from United. But the fact is, he's actually only going to stop at the end of 2021. People keep getting gassed right now. There's no reason to get gassed. This summer, it's still Edudo that will oversee this summer. All the gas that United fans are getting gassed is just, billionaires don't just cut ties with someone who has been their financial manager for up to 15 years. Fam, he brought them into this club. And yes, they don't want him because apparently he said he didn't want to, you know, be part of this. But clearly, we are in a stage where
if anyone actually comes with the right money, United should get sold this year, bro. And that is what I'm just hoping for. Bro, if we get sold with Bruno and Pogba and Rashford, fam, I'm gassed in a way, because we will sign boys. Sancho is definitely gonna have to come, and I don't know what else.
And delving into United, is that what's happening,
bro? I mean, do you know what I mean? Like, bro, it's just it's a hot mess, man. It's a hot mess. Okay, let's do it like that. Yeah, no problem. So for the European Super League, bro, what are our last words? How should we conclude this one before we go to United? Nah, just pass off.
yeah. So for me, yeah, the European Super League, yeah, I understand the frustration of the fans. I support the fact that they protested against the fact that there would be a certain set of clubs that would just have this right to just be in the competition. No, we want a merit-based system.
Yep.
But the fact that they were protesting against the Europa Super League in its entirety, it's not what I like. Someone might listen to this and say, okay, you weren't born in England, you don't understand what it means to us, the fans, you're not going to relate to it, so on and so forth. So I'd say, fair enough. But what you need to understand is, this football game, the game has exploded in the Premier League precisely because of people from all over the world.
Thank you very much.
For fans in your so-called third world countries, it may take them forever to pay for a team shirt or affording to see a game at a home ground. Like, the fact they can't, that's even non-existent for them.
For real.
They just dream about it, but they know there's no possibility of them ever flying to London and getting to watch Chelsea at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
But the reality is, they help raise the profile and investment in the team that you get to watch regularly. And those investments allow your club to buy the players, to pay them the wages, and your team to thrive the way it wants to. You have to have some sympathy for them, because you have the NFL who are bringing, and am I sound like a broken record, but I keep on bringing this NFL thing, because to me it's kind of hypocritical, and I shouldn't generalize all Brits, but a few segments of them. The NFL put NFL games to London. The European Super League has the ability to help a certain demographic see what they never dreamt of seeing. And I look at those aspects of the European Super League and say, there's something there with the right organization, with the right setup, with fairness and equity in its planning. I understand the frustrations of the football fans of the top six teams that protested, and even outside England, other teams that told their clubs to rule out. Yes, I understand your frustrations, but I beg you to look at the other realities we live in. The fact that no one wants to watch these mid-table teams play, as much as we hate to say it, especially with the era of kids we're going into, whose attention span is so little. They're not gonna even the big games, they struggle. They watch them through Twitter. Whenever there's a goal, they
see right
play and tweet it. Like, that's the era we're going in. And the best solution for that is the European Super League. With a little tweaking, it can work. And I hope within the next few years we'll be better planning, better execution, to bring to us a European Super League whereby week in, week out, we're watching the best teams, the best players, and best entertainment.
Wow, absolutely elite. Nothing else I have to say. You hit the nail on the head. That was absolutely brilliant, Bello. Guys, thanks, I hope you guys really enjoyed. This has been some time coming, and I'm so happy we got it done. This is on record. At least we spoke on this, and I'm sure, you know, it's funny, right? But I'm sure most of our own peers might not even be this interested in this topic, because, to be fair, it's kind of a tacky one in terms of, it's blatant that, oh, it's all about some money, whatever. But when you think about it, you realize that except, and then articulating your opinions on it could be difficult. So I'm so happy that you did that exemplary well today, Bello.
Sorry, I have to just say, UEFA and FIFA are one of the most corrupt institutions, not just in football,
the world,
but
in the world,
sphere
bro.
Of life. And the fact that they've managed to revamp themselves into things, it's something that puzzles me up till now. UEFA's greediness is part of the reason why we're here. You realize that UEFA could have helped clubs offset the economic impact of COVID-19, which has crippled a lot of our top clubs financially. Revenues are down, and then they still have players on multi-million-dollar contracts. You get me? As a business model, you're obviously gonna panic. And the fact that UEFA has not done anything to mediate these things for club, or this year, say probably in the Champions League, we're gonna increase the revenue for the winner, because I think in the current Champions League format, if you qualify from group stage up to winning the final, you have a cash prize of about 72 million or so. But when you look at the billions UEFA are generating in broadcasting rights, you could probably start to wonder why these owners are like, okay, we need to form our own thing, because these guys are actually taking the piss. So I'm never ever gonna paint UEFA and FIFA in the light football fans painted them in these last couple of weeks, because those footballing institutions are as much to blame for the fact that these billionaires wanna form their own club and have their own consistent revenue stream. I'll leave it at that.
Bro, that is very true. You actually touched on a very important point. Do you realize UEFA could have held their European Championship last year, but these guys held on for 1 year because they knew that there would be fans. And apparently, the Euros will be the first international competition that fans will be allowed back in. Bro, how did they pull this off? Meaning, they really did not lose too much, bro. They put off the tournament. So it's not as if they governed the tournament where, they now recorded extreme losses because obviously fans did not come to pay nothing. Bro, they didn't do it. And now that they'll come, they'll even be ahead of the game, because now they'll even get more money in a time where most clubs could not even fill half their stadiums. This is a bigger issue, but we just hope our own 2 cents we could put into the whole conundrum kind of made sense.
Yeah.
Any last words, Bello, on this European Super League topic?
I've said my part, and a disclaimer: I love England. I love the Brits. I love all you guys. I lived there for a couple of years. I love the culture. I love the people. I love what you stand for. R.I.P. Prince Philip. You're a real man. Long live the Queen. Long live the Queen.
Guys, long live the Queen, man, for real. Man, you are a pimp, man. This guy. No, guys, but for real though, we're in the UK, so don't get it twisted. All the disclaimers Bella was giving are actual facts. So guys, don't worry about it, man. Hopefully we'll see what UEFA does. And guys, you know what time it is. It's been Bello and Daniel, man. Guys, this is just for the
Are we gonna touch on United a bit? You know, bro, that we want to.
We will. This will go. Bello, this will go, and we'll speak on that separately. How about that?
All right, guys.
No worries, man. Thank you so much for joining us on this one. Go have a special, special day. And take care. Nice one, bro. Take care.
Take care. Thank you for having me, bro.
Take care, bro. No more.